if I'm now saying that the $50 million that I spent on display media, that 99% of that was fraudulent traffic, a lot of people are going to get in trouble for that. Lot of people. The ad platform is going to get in trouble. The ad agency is going to get in trouble for doing the media buys. The client, the manager who hired the agency, who manages the agency, is going to get in trouble. And it's going to undermine all these cool success stories that we've been telling for the last, you know, X amount of time.
Hello, and welcome to the Funnel Podcast, a digital experience podcast by Blue Acorn ICI. Each month, we'll uncover new strategies and topics related to e-commerce. And I'm your host, Sarah G. I'm the Senior Content Marketing Manager here at Blue Acorn ICI. This week, we'll be learning more about bot detection and prevention. So today, we'll uncover how bots are impacting website traffic and advertising campaigns, and of course, answer the question, are they really draining marketing budgets? Our guest Jim Gordon joins the Funnel to talk more about bots and how the right tools could actually improve marketing results. But before we get started, let's learn a little bit more about Jim. He's an award-winning analytics consulting industry veteran who has worn every hat from data orchestration to activation, and he's best known for his content on tag management, data layers, and Adobe Experience Platform. Super excited to have him on today, and of course, we have a lot to discuss. So let's begin. Welcome, Jim. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, and when it comes to bots and how to detect them, I know I have a lot to learn. So to begin, let's just start with questions. How are bots impacting marketing budgets right now?
Before I start talking about how marketing budgets are impacted, I should probably start from how we discovered this is like a problem to begin with. And I think everybody who's listening probably understands like what bots are. And they're like, oh yeah, bots, whatever. Like I've been on Facebook, I've been on, you know, insert platform here, and I see someone that I clearly don't know, add me as a friend or follow me on X or, you know, whatever. And that's the image that I think a lot of people have of a bot. And that perception couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, it is. That is a bot.
A version of some bots that are impacting marketing.
Yeah.
But not
they
all.
Could impact marketing. Yeah, for sure. If you market on Meta or X or whatever, you know, there is traffic out there that is fake. We're all very aware of it. There was this client that I worked with, and this is kind of like what got me started on this. What we'd found out was we'd mapped out basically the end-to-end process, right? Of like what happens when someone clicks on an ad. Okay, well, you know, requests files from a server and then a CDN decides to deliver. And I say decides because a CDN has tech that detects bots and it's usually pretty conservative, you know.
And CDN stands for what again?
Oh yeah, content
Educate
delivery
me.
Network.
Content
yeah,
delivery
no, no
network,
worries.
Yeah.
Sorry, I say like these things and I'm like, well, duh, CDN. It's content delivery network. It basically its job is to deliver content from a website, you know. That's like if it could do one thing, if I could like pin down one thing that it's like assigned to do, it's that.
Okay.
And if it's not doing that, then it's failing at its job. So really what it's designed for is to stop like DDoS attacks, which is like denial of service attacks. That's like when you get like billions of bots that are like hammering a website, like the CDN's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, there are other like mitigation techniques to that, but like a CDN is a line of defense to stop DDoS attacks and stuff like that. But outside of that, like it's a pretty conservative bot filter. So we looked at their CDN and saw that like all the traffic coming from media was getting flagged as bots.
And
tossed. And so I was like, if that's a problem here, oh, and there's a lot more to that because, you know, how we're going to circle back to how it impacts marketing budgets in a minute. I'm kind of getting to
No, I like the building the context of this story to how you got here today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, I mean, so I guess as the outcome, we're like, well, I guess this is probably a problem elsewhere. Where we had struggled, though, in the beginning, you're like, how is this impacting marketing budgets? So I'm like, well, technically it doesn't.
because they don't realize that it's impacting them, so they're still spending the same budget and just going on worse.
They know it's happening and they're still spending the budget on it, because if they ever surfaced that this was an issue, like, think of the downstream impacts of that. They're like, if I'm now saying that the $50 million that I spent on display media, that 99% of that was fraudulent traffic,
ugh,
a lot of people are going to get in trouble for that. A True. Lot of people. The ad platform is going to get in trouble. The ad agency is going to get in trouble for doing the media buys. The client, the manager who hired the agency, who manages the agency, is going to get in trouble. And it's going to undermine all these cool success stories that we've been telling for the last, you know, X amount of time. And the worst part is that, like, they use these other tools, these like turnkey tools for bot detection, and they say they do something, and I'm not going to name the vendors, but they don't actually do anything. And the reason they don't do anything isn't because they're bad, but because these vendors have like a nanosecond to determine whether or not some user agent is a bot. And so they have this list of like IP addresses and user agents. And that's actually like from this list called like IAB. I think it's like International Advertising Board. I don't know, something, whatever. They have a list that has a bunch of IP addresses and user agents that they'll use to say like bot or not a bot. So these tools that you're not paying a whole lot for, but these tools that are meant to stop bots, or at least be like a comfort blanket for clients, they're not doing anything, because
you're just paying more money for something that does nothing.
Yeah, right. I mean, I might stop like one or two
of like all of the bots coming
all
through.
All the bots, yeah. But it's so easy to fake, and it's becoming a bigger problem. I mean, as it's not 2009 anymore. You know, we're not seeing like hackers in a basement in, you know, insert some country outside of the US jurisdiction. Bots have become so easy to create that they're just everywhere. They're only becoming more accessible, basically. Right. So especially with GPT and stuff like that, like, I don't know how to write any Python, but I can get GPT to write an entire Python script for me to crawl a site, move my mouse, click on stuff. And so again, we come back to, how is this impacting marketing budget? And I don't like injecting like FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt into our industry, because there's a ton of that. There's so much of that. So it comes back to, it should impact marketing budgets, and it should impact a lot more. And this is an issue on websites too. This isn't just like display advertising, because they'll say display and people will roll their eyes like, yeah, well, duh, of course display has a ton of bots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are the same people who are like working in companies that invest a ton in display. And it's like, are we all just kind of like,
you do it because you have to, but also you know that it's not trustworthy. Is that just
right?
The game?
Yeah. It is. It's like an industrial complex, you know, like the display advertising industrial complex. But it's like it affects other stuff too, like not just display. It even impacts like paid search. It's like, oh, I'll just go to paid search. It's not as big of a deal with paid search, like compared to display. But even on your website, like if you look at your website, there is an option in Adobe Analytics and Universal Analytics. I don't think this option's in GA4 yet, but it's about to be introduced into AEP, Adobe Experience Platform, that uses that IAB list that I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm,
to exclude bots, which is a big step forward, honestly, but it doesn't get you, I think, where you need to go. And that's by design, because every site experiences fraudulent traffic differently. So if I'm in charge of my marketing budget, like, first of all, I'm going to run an audit on my display ads. So there are tools out there. You know, I historically have used a tool called Foo Analytics it's like FOU Analytics, and it was created by Dr. Foo. who's a brilliant researcher. And we've used that to stop bot traffic at their source, you know? Like with display ads, like with display fraud, I don't think it's realistic to stop it like agent by like user by user. Like that's not sustainable. The fraudsters typically have a dedicated website because they want to collect the money from impression fraud. You know, you're paid by like CPM. So you want to shut down the bar instead of go through and pick out every single
Individuals.
person that shouldn't be there. So you just want to shut the whole thing down. And I think his non-deterministic methodology, really, that's like the way to go in my mind, when it comes to bot detection, at least at this point. So if I'm managing a marketing budget, first of all, I'm doing that. I'm using that tool to filter out all the sites that are just like destroying my ad budget, like absolutely destroying. It goes beyond just like bots. There's more like fraud stuff too, where there are apps that run in the background and cycle through banner ads and stuff like that. The other side of the coin here is on websites, and this is what I've mostly focused on. I find that like people in analytics, and we were talking about this before we started recording, are more partial to objectivity, and it makes sense, right? It's objective. It's the bi it's based in some fact.
The numbers
I
are
don't get
there.
my
You could see
the
it.
numbers are there. Like my feelings about I can't tell you how many times working for an ad agency, someone's like, "Well, tell a good story for me." And I'm like, well, I can't because he did a bad ad campaign. And so it's like, I don't know. Like, I mean, do you want what font do you want to use for these really bad conversion rate numbers? You know, like that's how I'll make it look good. And so for a website, often we'll connect with analytics practitioners a lot better and use this tool on the website to collect data about the composition of their traffic, whether it's humans or bots. And that's an important distinction, you know, because if I can confirm that someone's a human, then I can actually focus on my data a lot better, right? Because there's a lot of noise in our data right now. And you have bots coming in using a bunch of proxies. And we found that like the median volume of bots on a website is like the percentage is like 20% of your site traffic.
Dang,
Is bots.
yeah.
So I mean there's a 50% chance that you have fewer or less
Right.
than 20%, you know. But there's also a 50% chance you have more. So what's really cool though is like we used AEP to pull data in from our bot detection tool and integrate it like in real time with our site analytics data. And so how does that impact? Yeah, I spend like Sarah, I spent like 30 minutes
No,
trying to answer one single
this is
question.
no, this is really insightful, and I think it's important to paint the picture of like how you determined there were a lot of bots in the traffic, and then just like the other nitty-gritty ways that it's kind of infiltrated other systems. And no, this is I'm learning a lot.
Oh yeah, it's intense. And the thing is like it doesn't get nearly as much attention as it should. Like people are afraid of like and should be afraid of litigation and stuff like that when it comes to like cookie laws and stuff like that. But that doesn't help move the industry forward. Whereas I think this helps move our industry forward. This helps us grow and mature in terms of measurement. And AEP does a great job at allowing us to co-mingle that data without leaving the ecosystem, right? We'd struggled before AEP, and I say AEP a lot because I'm personally a huge fan of it. So like full disclosure, like there are other tools that can do this. Like I could pass this into some BI tool and commingle this data with like my ECIDs, which is like user IDs. I could dump this into BigQuery, you know, and use GA4 client IDs to mix this stuff together. But AEP the way that it's packaged keeps it all in a nice tight ecosystem. So there's like, you don't have to be like a DBA to figure out how to do this stuff. You don't have to know SQL to figure out how to import this stuff. And which is great for me because like, I do not like doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we imported it into AEP and we're able to add it into Customer Journey Analytics or CJA. There's a lot of like abbreviations here, so bear with me. And which is cool because now I can actually create like a score for all of my users and all of my sessions, like based on like high probability of being a human or high probability of being a bot, and adjust it to wherever I feel comfortable. And then the really cool stuff is when you, since it's in AEP, I can also create audiences to use in real-time CDP and Journey Optimizer. So if I'm figuring out how to allocate my marketing budget, I'm like, okay, I want to use this marketing budget on traffic that I know has like at least a 50% probability that it's human.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, so I'm spending that much less. And let's say you have 20% of your traffic is bots. That means I'm saving 20% of my budget. And what I am spending is going that much
converting
farther.
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actual real
and
people.
Not just that, but I'm going to take more risks, you know, because I know it's human. Whereas before it's like you had such saturated data. You had to be a little bit more conservative. I'd probably be more aggressive if I knew that all the traffic that I was targeting was human, you know? And it's not necessarily a thought that you had before, but I guess now that we're saying like, okay, well, you don't have to spend as much and you can be more aggressive with this data.
And that defines better audiences in the future now that you're being more aggressive.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the better audience and audiences enable you to be more aggressive mm-hmm. with your marketing. So long, long, long answer to a really short question of what are people doing with their budget? It's like a multi-pronged thing. People don't want to do anything with it because it's really inconvenient to think about the fact that so much of your traffic, so much of what you're measuring is not real.
And that's a huge undertaking of like, just instead of doing the daily, you know, campaigns or whatever, now you have to overhaul everything to filter out this bot traffic and determine so organizations just don't do it.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, well, at least our data is directional, but it's like, at what point is it not directional? At what point are you slowing down all of your A/B tests because you have this non-human traffic? Like, at what point, you know, are you going to, like, you got to rip the Band-Aid off on this one. You really have to rip the Band-Aid off. And I'm going to challenge anyone who's listening to this. If you don't think you have an issue with bots, like, please let me know. I would love. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm not a mold tester. I don't go into your house and it's like, oh, you got mold. And it's like, yeah, everybody has mold in their house. It's about, and you're never going to be completely free from bots on your website or in your marketing. Like, that is literally impossible. That will not happen. You will always have bots. But you don't have to have like 20% of your traffic. I'd say like a good goal is to get it down to like 5%. You know, you're always going to have it, but just mitigate it. That's what people's rationale. I think the rationale of a lot of analysts is like, well, I know there's bots. We're gonna have to live with it. And it's true. But
what percent but I don't think are we living of, with?
Yeah, like what are we comfortable with? Are you comfortable with 20%? If you are, then fine. Like, we can help you figure out what percent it is. You know, we could run a trial and just see like what your composition is. You know, it's really easy to do, but it's scary. It's like going to the dentist. You're like, oh man, I don't like, I feel like I have a cavity, but like, I don't want to know because I feel like tomorrow
it makes it real.
It'll feel better. It makes it real. Yeah. Yeah. You can't have a cavity if no one diagnoses you with one, right?
You just have some tooth pain or whatever.
Right? What happens after it's a cavity? Maybe it'll turn into something else. It'll evolve. It'll evolve into like
a root canal.
A root
that
canal.
You'll need.
But is a root canal like Is that just like a big cavity, or is that something totally different?
I have no idea. I'm not a dentist, so I
So, if any
don't
dentists are listening to this, if you could chime in and help us understand if like a root canal is just a superpowered cavity, I'd love to know. I could probably just ask
That's
GPT
the
that, but
takeaway for this episode, is
that's the
the
takeaway for this. This
cat.
is it.
Well, and I think it's just so important to cover, because bot traffic, as a marketer myself, is not really something that we've discussed as like on other marketing teams. So we've
Yeah.
been like, let's take a look at our bot traffic. That's just
I
not a
know.
conversation we're having. We're looking at how can we maximize our marketing budgets, but the bot stuff never comes into, you
I
know,
know.
that.
If you're really sneaky and you wanna mess with other companies and their content, just build a bot that pings their worst article that they've written.
Oh my God.
And they're going to use that to prioritize future articles and like, oh yeah, we're doing some really good stuff here. And then it's like none of it's real. Don't do that. I do not condone that. I
I was
do
gonna
not
say,
recommend that. Do not do that. Please do not do that. I know it's easy to do, and I know you can like go on GPT and do this in 5 seconds. Please do not do that. That is illegal. I don't think it's illegal.
frowned upon for sure.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Frowned upon. Yeah.
Well, was there anything else on bot traffic and detecting bots that you think we should cover today? We got like a good baseline of where teams should start thinking about this and their budgets and
I could probably talk for another like 3 hours about this stuff. So from a high level, I think we covered the basics. It's mostly trying to start a productive conversation about how to address it. And I think like, especially if you owned a website, I was working on engagements, a couple years back with Adobe Analytics and Google Analytics, and trying to integrate this deep bot detection data, because the bot detection we do is like based on behavior and stuff like that. So you need a JavaScript library on the site, and it looks at behavior, because you can't get enough information just from like, a nanosecond of, the CDN, where it's like, oh, I have your IP address used and blah, blah, blah. You have to look at what the bot is doing to detect patterns and run it through fancy mathy algorithms to figure out whether or not it's a bot. But the two years ago, we had really struggled with making this data accessible and helping people integrate their data with their website data, right? You'd have to like throw it into Snowflake or something like that. That's just like a high barrier to entry with this stuff. AEP, I think, like that's the biggest takeaway for me, is like, just like, shoot, I could just pipe this stuff in, give it to a client, and they can do whatever they want with it, or they could do nothing with it, and then it's like, okay, we'll stop using it if you're not doing anything with it. But like, you should probably use it to do something. But yeah, pipe the data in, and it democratizes it, which is wonderful. So you're not like dependent upon a consulting firm to like sit there and try to interpret it for you. I think that's been like the biggest development in the last 6 months or so. It's just so easy to do that. But that's really it from a really high level. I mean, that's it with bot detection. There's a heck of a lot more to talk about, like how they're detected, what the difference is between how it detects it and like CDNs, and how even like Meta and all those detect bots and stuff like that, because they also do bot detection, and fraud detection, and even like where everything is headed with like Gen AI and stuff like that, and how easy it is to like build bots and stuff like that, and how difficult it is to differentiate like human-made content from non-human made content. I think we're in the next like 5 or so years, we're gonna see a huge shift in the way that we think about content, like period.
Yeah.
There's gonna have to be a system of accountability there. So that's for a whole nother podcast.
Well, we'll have you on for part two to talk about the intricacies of everything we discussed today. But I think
Sounds
it's just
good.
like a starting point. This was a really insightful conversation, and I know from here it just opens up the discussion for other marketing teams and organizations to go, okay, maybe we should take a look at this.
I hope so. Get ahead of the curve here, instead of waiting for it to sneak up on you and then you're caught with your back turned. So
get the cavity looked at now is what you're saying.
Get the cavity looked at now. Go to the dentist.
Thank you so much for joining. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did too.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Sarah.